How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from coast of the Carolinas by way of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this is the moment sports betting fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time! Introducing the Fistful of
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are tuned in to the newest edition of the Fistful of Cash podcast. As always, I'm your host, Dale Lippin, and we've got a special guest coming live from Jeffrey Epstein's cell. Soup, what's going on, man?
Oh, that's fucked up. Nothing. Madden, the EA Access dropped, so I've been wasting my life away playing Madden, getting myself ready for the football season.
Oh, that's why you haven't been texting me back. All right.
Yeah, for the most part. That's pretty much it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have a card this weekend. It's a pay-per-view, should you choose to pay for it. It is one that the UFC would like for you to pay to watch. UFC 240 taking place in Canada. The 10th Island, as Max calls it, Max Holloway versus Frankie Edgar, third time's a charm. We're actually going to get to see it. And it's the return of the cyborg herself. This is like Terminator 5. The cyborg is back, taking on the phenom, Felicia Spencer. Really hyped up coming off of her dominant win over Megan Anderson. So really about it as far as this card goes. There's going to be some undercard value at some point once the lines and the over unders come out. There's some fights that we're keeping an eye on. Going to be making some creative plays this weekend. However, for the show, we do want to cover the fights that are on the card. We got some stuff lined up for you guys. Let's start with the first fight of the evening as far as the main card, the I'm going to pay for it portion. There we go. Marc-Andre Berrio taking on Christoph Jocko. Berrio sitting at 11-2, Jocko at 20-4. I'm sure you already know this, Soup, but Jocko is the favorite here. And he is sitting at -160 to Marc-Andre Berrio's +130, rather, if I could freaking talk today. +130. I like Jocko -160, and I still think that's a great price for him. I think that's worth a heavy play. Berrio was exposed in his last fight. Did not look good against Andrew Sanchez. I think Jocko wins this fight, and I think he wins it decisively. And at -160, I think that's a great, 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 great line to get him at.
Yeah, I'm with you. I actually got to see Jocko fight when he was actually beating Uriah Hall. It was 2 years ago when they fought in Pittsburgh, and Uriah Hall ended up sleeping him, but I do like Jocko in this fight as well. Spoiler alert, I have a feeling this is probably going to be a multi-unit play. Obviously, we will put, you just want to put the units on it now. He's -160.
-160. Yeah. I mean, I'm not thinking like five, but I'm thinking three. Probably three. I'm thinking three for sure.
Three. Cause that, that's like three with a 1.9 return. That's not bad.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, I'd probably say he wins this probably by unanimous decision. I think the year off that he took, you know, really helped, but, yeah, I think a three-unit play on Jock because here's a good play.
Yeah, he's just got better quality. I mean, he's got more experience, obviously, sitting at 24, but he's just faced better opponents, man. it's one of those things where I would really, this is going to be a test in terms of, like you said, with the year off, but recently fighting, in April of this last year, looked really good in his return against Alan Emadovsky. This is a fight that he should win. So, -160, I like it. Multi-unit play, three units. I'm great with that. So let's move on to the next fight. We've got, man, I am freaking suffering here today as far as my ability to speak. Olivier Aubin-Mercier taking on Armand Sarukian. Sarukian sitting at 13-2. OAM is sitting at 11-4. Sarukian is the -200 favorite. So I think that Sarukian's getting a lot of love from odds makers on this fight, but that's based off of outside the UFC performance and the way he looked against the super talented Islam Makhachev. And also you can sort of piggyback that with OAM being on a two fight skid. So what do you, I think they've got this one dead to rights. I'm not even sure how much of this I'm even wanting to make a play on. What do you think?
Yeah. It's weird. So the first two fights we covered, OAM was actually on that Pittsburgh card as well. I think it was Tony Martin is who he fought, and he won unanimous, maybe split decision. I can't remember, but he did win by decision. But OAMs look like shit against Alexander Hernandez and Gilbert Burns in his last two fights. He's boring. This will probably be the fight on the main card. I mean, if you pay for it, you're not going to want to turn, change your channel. But this would be the fight to take your pee break or do whatever you need to do during, because I don't expect any excitement out of this fight. Probably wait for the rounds to come out. It's probably going to be 2.5, and the over is probably going to be favored. But I think we both agree going over 2.5 is more than likely going to be the play on this.
Yeah. I mean, the over 2.5 might sit at -150, in which case it's going to give you better value. Yeah. So that'll probably be the play if that's what it sits at. But going from anticipating it, seeing the distance, to probably as close to a guarantee as it's not going to as possible, Jeff Neal taking on Nico Price. Jeff Neal 11-2, Nico Price 13-2. Nico Price, known far and away as a finisher, does not like to get the judges involved at all, and has said all week leading up to this fight, don't blink, it's going to be over fast. I think the play here, if you're looking for a play like that to be the, sort of the antithesis of the other play that we're talking about, it's going to be this fight right here. I still like Jeff Neal, and he's a heavy favorite in this fight, though. So he'll be sitting at -335 on most books.
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on with Nico Price. The guy hasn't seen a decision in his time with the UFC. And that's, eight fights? And right, he hasn't seen a decision yet. He actually hasn't seen a third round yet. So beat the piss out of Tim Means. Yeah. I know it's going to be 1.5, and the under is probably going to be a huge favorite. And what'd you say Neal's coming in at?
-330.
-330. Jeez, oh man. I wish you could bet like what fight's going to be performance of the night.
Fight of the night, yeah.
This would be the fight.
Like, right.
Because it's going to be sheer excitement. 30 seconds it lasts, or the 10 minutes, whatever it is. I'm just betting the fight ends by knockout. I don't know. Yeah. Neal by knockout. I guess we see what those odds come out at.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to come. It'll be your best chance at sort of bringing the line down.
Yeah.
But even then, it might not see that much movement. The big test for Neal here is going to be whether or not he can maintain the one thing that has really made him stand out so far, and that is his grace under fire. He is as cool and calm and calculated of a customer as you're ever likely to see. And Nico Price, you know, lives in the chaos. So he's going to want to bring that just madness to Neil, and it's going to be up to him to stay the course. You know, but what's that saying? Calm seas never made for good sailors. And I think that holds true in this fight. Jeff Neal needs to get through a guy like Nico Price, and he needs to do so decidedly to see where he stands in a very crowded welterweight division. I would love to see him move forward here, dispatch Nico in a very convincing fashion, and then maybe start cracking into these top 15 through 11 welterweights and see where he stands, man. I definitely think the guy's got the talent for it. Be interesting to see where he goes. Now, losing to Price, however, is going to be a step back. It's going to be a while before you see a guy like Neil, if he were to lose this fight, be able to rebound and start landing those top 15 opponents, unless it was on a short notice kind of pickup. So be interesting to see, man. There's more on the line here than the UFC is making a story out of. So I like Jeff Neal in this fight, though, -330, and I think him by knockout's a great play. We'll see what that comes in at. But let's get into the co-main event of the evening. Like I said, the return of Chris Cyborg, 20-2, taking on Felicia Spencer, sitting at 7-0. Felicia Spencer, like I alluded to earlier, beat Megan Anderson recently, and then Chris Cyborg, first fight back after the Amanda Nunes loss. Cyborg on some sites, I'm seeing her as high as, or, you know, minus 500. So
I've got her -712.
Exactly. So
no real
surprise when it comes to this kind of stuff. You know, Felicia Spencer even got tagged up by Megan Anderson before the takedown and the submission happened. I'm not sure Felicia Spencer can do that to Cyborg. I think Cyborg first round knockout. That's just sort of my opinion. I'm not trying to let the cat out, but I still think Cyborg, and you should be able to find that exact play on most books come Friday, Saturday. You should be able to find Cyborg in round one. That should be an actual
play. And you know what the crazy thing is? That's still probably going to be like a minus 200, minus 250.
Yeah, probably.
But this is her last fight on contract too, right?
Correct. Oof. And
it's a contract fight.
It is a contract
fight.
If
she wants it. I mean, she's getting a contract regardless.
Well, I think she said she's done.
If she accepts it. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. The contract's there to be had. It's just whether or not she has a change of heart and decides to come back with Amanda Nunes, no longer in the division.
No, I mean, Nunes is still around. She's not going anywhere. I think the play for Cyborg is win this fight and then go to Ryzen or 1FC. I can see her going to either one of those markets. Cyborg has not gotten any love in her UFC tenure, despite being the world's premier MMA organization. You take her someplace like Asia, man, she's a superstar.
So you don't think Nunes will stay at bantamweight? You think she'll fight featherweight?
She's got to, I believe. She's not going to vacate that belt.
I mean,
who she?
She could, unless she. I mean, I don't know.
I honestly think she looks better at 145, healthier. I think.
Yeah, I guess it'll be interesting. It's such a crapshoot with, you know, double champs.
Well, it's also that they made a division out of something. They essentially made a division for Cyborg. Right. And now she's going to end up leaving, and there's only a handful of women that can even fight at 145. So, you know, it's almost like heavyweights for men. It's essentially what the featherweight division is for women. Those women are not small to fight at 145 pounds. That's a big, it's pretty big. So, and then to be an athletic 145, you know, it's one thing for a woman to have meat on her bones, but they carry their weight different than men. And to be 145 pounds and be in shape as a fighter, that means that if you weren't in shape, and just doing your thing, you know, living your best life, you know, you'd probably be sitting way higher than that. So 145 pounds in shape as a fighter, that's a, you know, as far as women go, that's a bigger woman in the off season, if you will. So I can't imagine the talent pool worldwide is real deep with super athletic 145 pound women that want to punch each other in the face. I just don't see it. So, you know, Nunes leaving that division would kill it. Who do you ever fight? Or who do you, you know, the only people that are up there are 135ers that they're trying to move up to give title shots to.
Yeah.
Like I would it's not an insult, but name 10 women featherweight fighters. Go.
Amanda Nunes.
That's my point.
I know.
And that was,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
And that's what happened whenever they instituted the flyweight division for men. Until these guys trickled in from other organizations, the men's flyweight division was a round robin of four guys fighting each other to see who the champion would be. You know, people forget that. That's how they started the flyweight division. We're just going to have a little tournament with winners.
I'm not even going to – I just looked up women's featherweights. Yeah.
There's probably not even a top 15 ranking on the UFC's website.
No. There's maybe five names I've heard of.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean,
Nunes has to stay or they dissolve the division. So they were about
which is women. That's what I'm getting at. Here's the thing. You keep Nunes there, you're feeding her scrubs nonstop. Eventually, it almost makes sense for them to dissolve the division.
Yeah. I'd be all about it too, to be honest with you. It's another thing. They're never going to put them on a pay-per-view headliner. Not again anyway. And, you know, unless you're going to have it headline an ESPN card, what's the point? Just let it go. So, all right, main event. Max Holloway coming back after his brutal fight with Dustin Poirier, taking on Frankie Edgar, third time's a charm. Frankie Edgar, 23-6-1. Max Holloway at 20-4. Can Max Holloway return to form as far as featherweight goes and put on the beating and continue the featherweight streak that has been nothing short of awe-inspiring for the last several years? Max Holloway sitting at -375, Frankie Edgar +285. I think we're in agreement here that Max Holloway wins this fight. I guess maybe the only parity would come in how this fight gets won.
My suggestion for the fight, a 10-unit play on Max Holloway.
I mean, if you have it, I mean, so what, just a max bet then? Literally a max bet on Max?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he gets Frankie out of there. I don't know what Frankie brings to the table that Max can't handle, unless Poirier did so much damage to Max that Frankie's able to crack him and hurt him. You know,
even with the damage that Poirier did to Holloway, Frankie Edgar's not going to win a decision. If Frankie Edgar's going to win this fight, he's going to have to finish it inside the distance. And we obviously know that Max Holloway can handle wrestling. There's no question about that. As far as takedown defense, there's no question about that. And I don't – if Dustin Poirier's not going to get Max Holloway out of there with how much damage he did to him, Frankie Edgar's not knocking Max Holloway out.
I'm agreeing with you. I think you're right. I just, you know, the more I think about this fight, the bigger the mismatch it seems. You know, Max uses his range so well. He's so accurate. His cardio is on pace with Frankie, so Frankie can't outpace him. Frankie's not going to out-wrestle him. Frankie's not going to, you know, old man strength him. He doesn't have one-punch knockout power. It's literally going to be one of those things that, you know, how does Max's body respond to the Poirier fight? That's the question. He took a ton of damage in that fight. This will be his first fight back since then. Max has been talking like he's got a mouthful of oatmeal for the last couple years now, which has got me worried about his brain. However, every time I talk to myself like that, Max Holloway comes out and he puts on the performance of a lifetime like he did against Brian Ortega.
it's going to be super interesting to see how Frankie Edgar responds when he gets hit in the face 80 times in the first 2.5 minutes.
Exactly.
He hasn't seen a pressure. I mean, unless you've fought Max Holloway, you haven't seen a pressure like Max Holloway. You haven't seen precision like Max Holloway.
Right.
It's his stand-up game is just second to none. It's freaking unbelievable.
Yeah.
And damn it if he doesn't have a hell of a chin.
Yeah.
Even his performance against Dustin Poirier, yes, he lost, but the fact that he was still standing up right after that fight was incredible.
Well, the difference in that fight was Max did everything that Max does. The difference was is that Poirier was landing the harder shots. So when he was hitting Max, he was hurting him. Now,
right.
But Max did everything that he normally does. He puts a pace on you. He hits you 1,000 times. He wears you down. The problem with that was is Max would hit him 2-3 times. Poirier would hit him once and damage would get done. And it was like, oh, now we're seeing something a little bit different. Somebody's able to damage Max. Where before it seems like everybody's come out and they've tried to do things that have been incorrect, right? We're going to wrestle him. That doesn't work. We're going to try to submit him. That doesn't work. We're going to try to go strike for strike with him. That doesn't work. If you want to beat Max Holloway, you have to turn him into a bloody stump like Poirier did, or you're going to have to separate him from consciousness. You know, that's really about it. Or tap him out. But it has to be a decisive finishing act. You're not going to decision Max Holloway like that. You know, and especially a guy with Frankie Edgar's unique talents and abilities. And that's not to take anything away from Frankie Edgar. He's a super talented dude, but he's not going to have range here. So that's not going to be an advantage. He's not going to have wrestling, not an advantage. He's not going to have the cardio. So where does Frankie Edgar get it done? That's normally how he gets it done. None of those are going to be at his disposal this time. I think it's a super mismatch. I think the Felicia Spencer Cyborg line should look a lot more like this line, and this line should look a lot more like the Felicia Spencer Cyborg line.
That's what I think -375 on Holloway here is unbelievable. Like, if obviously I'm not Vegas and I'm not making lines, but if you would have asked me without seeing a line, I would have had Max Holloway like a -550, -600. I don't see him dropping two in a row, and especially not returning to his weight class. You know,
The featherweight equivalent of John Jones versus Anthony Smith. It's a matchup that is just like, I can't see how this is going to turn out to be competitive.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. But we'll see Friday night or Saturday night rather. Frankie Edgar believes in himself, Mark Henry, all those guys believe in him, you know, we'll see what happens. See if Edgar can get that champ status, but that's it guys. Like I said, follow us on Instagram, Fistful of Cash Podcast, and we're going to put some creative plays up there this weekend for the undercard fights. If you haven't already done so, leave us a review on iTunes. Figured out what was going on, man, with our iTunes reviews. I didn't realize that this was a thing. I'm still not even certain, but I'm trying to figure it out. It looks like the most recent reviews we've been getting have been from our brothers up north in Canada. So the Canadian reviews don't seem to be showing up on iTunes for whatever reason. However, if you go to various other platforms that include iTunes reviews, they're there.
That's weird.
It is weird, right?
That's really strange.
Yeah, I thought so too. But if you haven't left us a review on iTunes, please do. You know, if you've got any sort of value out of the show, whether it be entertainment or monetary, you know, that's the bare minimum we're asking. Leave us an iTunes review, drop us a couple stars, tell us you like us. That's fine. If you don't like us, shoot us an email, fistfulofcashpod@gmail.com, or hit us up on Instagram and talk shit to us on there, which plenty of you do. And I appreciate that as well. Let's do top cities real quick, man.
While you're looking those up, we are 30 days from football season.
30 days.
Florida versus Miami is the opener for college football this year. Florida at Miami. Florida -7 is the line right now. I can't wait, man. Don't get me wrong. I love Saturdays. I love fight night. But this whole just baseball and tennis.
Yeah, it's tough.
I can't handle it. It's a bad sports time.
Yeah. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Top countries, the U.S., Australia. Australia upset Canada this week. So the U.S., Australia, Canada, the U.K., Germany, Chile, New Zealand, Hungary, Spain, Europe, the Dominican Republic, Ireland, and Mexico. And then shout out top cities, Arlington, Texas, Victoria, Tempe, Arizona, Charleston, South Carolina, Las Vegas, Chicago, New Haven, Connecticut, London, State College, PA, Fayetteville, our homies in Coquimbo, whoever's, yeah, there's like a contingency of people in Coquimbo, wherever that's at, that listen to us. Appreciate you guys. Richmond, Scottsdale, Arizona, Denver, and Salt Lake City, top cities this last week. Shout outs to some of our little hidden listeners here every once in a while. Kamloops, British Columbia, always shout you guys out. Let's see. Rancho Cucamonga, wherever that's at. Rancho Cucamonga, that's in California. Croydon, Philadelphia, Parkville, Southampton, Upland, Jamaica Plains, East Hartford, Connecticut. Let's see another. Let's see if I can't find a funny one. If there's any other ones out here. Nashville, Roanoke, Texas. Budapest. Hey, yo. My country people listening to us out there in Hungary, man. Huma, Louisiana, Kalamazoo, Michigan. All right, man. That's about all that. I'm not going to dig any deeper for these things, man. There's too many of them. Appreciate all the support, guys. That's all I got for this week. Talk to you guys on social media. If I don't talk to you, then I will talk to you next week. What do we have next week? Are there any fights next week? Am I missing it?
When's the DC? When's 240? 241 wouldn't be next week. No, there's not. Yeah, the Robbie Lawler, Colby Covington. Yeah.
Covington said Lawler's on steroids. Just throwing that out there.
Colby Covington's a bitch.
Massive play on Robbie Lawler.
It's kind of... more than like, I hate Colby Covington, yeah. Man. Like, he is the definition of bitch made. I can't stand that dude.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Mickey Gall's on that card.
Yes, he is.
All right. That's literally the only other name on that card. Yeah. Oh, Clay Guida, Jim Miller.
That's true. Can't believe that fight's never happened until now.
Get that going. Jim Miller minus 180.
2019 brings us Jim Miller versus Clay Guida 1, which it should be realistically probably Jim Miller versus 7. Yeah, 7. But 2019.
All right, guys. As always, clear eyes, full fist, can't lose.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.